Robert and Mary. Call anytime at 800-387-8025. Follow the program on Facebook or Instagram at RM World Travel. Now, back to America's number one travel radio show.
Welcome back. It is now 18 past the hour. Thanks for being part of our weekend travel get-together. This portion of the program is sponsored by LifeLock. Did you hear that one of those online popular dating websites, they had a data breach exposing over a million accounts? Well, as a result, information like passwords, email addresses, and phone numbers from the site, they're being sold on the online black market. Identity theft is America's fastest growing crime. It happens when thieves use your personal information to pretend they're you. They want to steal what you've worked hard for, and they can damage your credit or your reputation. That's why Rudy, Mary, and I have LifeLock, and so should you. LifeLock scans hundreds of millions of transactions each second, and if they detect your information, they send you an alert. And if you have a credit problem, their U.S.-based agents will work to fix it. That's very different than the credit monitoring services that are offered out there. They only alert you to changes in your credit. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock is the best identity theft protection available. Memberships start as low as $9.99 a month, plus applicable taxes. You can visit LifeLock.com today to save 10% when you use promo code Rudy. You can also find a link at theallnewrudymaxa.com under sponsors. All right, now we're going to change things up a bit. How many of you were fans of the TV show Everybody Loves Raymond? Well, our guest this segment is Phil Rosenthal. He's the creator and executive producer of Everybody Loves Raymond. But if you've watched your local PBS station lately, trying to make sure you've seen all of Rudy's TV shows that run on PBS, well, you've probably come across his latest TV show, I'll Have What Phil's Having. It's a travel show that's food-centric. It's not your typical PBS show. It's a little quirky, but that certainly helps it stand out. And it clearly inspires you to travel while blending in some culture and genuine humor.
Good morning, Phil. Welcome to our show, and thank you for taking some time out of your weekend to be with us today.
Thrilled to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. Great show. Phil, I'd love to start with the episode that you did in Tokyo, because it really struck me that your initial thought on that city was, I don't get it. In fact, I think you even said, I don't get it.
Oh, I definitely did, because when I got there, you know, you're suddenly in the middle of a Times Square that's bigger than Times Square.
Right.
And
right.
Then you go a few minutes away and there's another Times Square. There's like 50 Times Squares piled up on each other.
Overwhelming.
Overwhelming. And, like a pinball machine you're in.
Yeah. And in fact, the expression on your face when you came out of the pachinko arcade really said it all. And I really thought, okay, where is he going with this? And I think, you know, as it unfolded, by the time you got to the end of the episode, you gave us a really good taste of the city and the culture, and your journey on that evolved, and you really came to appreciate it. And so I guess my question is that what you're trying to do for the viewers? Have a little bit of a more honest, real account of your journey?
Yes. We live in a world where Anthony Bourdain lives, and mm-hmm. Anthony Bourdain's been doing this 15, 16 years, maybe more.
Sure.
And to me, he's like a superhero.
Yeah.
He does things that I watch, and I think I like regular viewers watch him and go, wow, he's amazing. I wouldn't necessarily do that, but I certainly love watching him do it.
Right.
So I thought, well, my joke is that I'm exactly like Anthony Bourdain if he was afraid of everything.
Afraid of everything.
Yeah. That's what I thought. That's
different.
Phil, when I saw you on the show, I said, well, there's Anthony Bourdain Jr., just a little different skew on things.
But I figure if people look at me getting off the couch and going outside, mm-hmm. and trying some new things, maybe they can too.
Right.
Right. And that's part of the experience, I think, that we all have when we travel, particularly to a culture like that. You are going to potentially question what you might be eating. It might not be for everybody, but it's great to get out there and try things.
But it opens you up.
Yeah.
It makes you more well-rounded.
So
then,
there's no more mind-expanding thing we can do in life than travel.
Right.
And I actually think the world would be a little bit better if we all got out there and experienced a little bit of someone else's experience.
I totally agree with you. I think there should be something mandatory in schools. You know, I know they offer, a lot of colleges offer the internships, but I really do think that you should spend a semester abroad or something just to widen your absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's what our money should be for.
Yeah.
You know, we save up and travel. I also think if you saw that Los Angeles episode,
we did.
Yes.
That really was about how you can travel in your own town.
And that was my next question, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's the complete opposite
Phil
of what
also
you
has
did
telepathy here.
You
can see what
that's
you're
great.
Answer.
I'm going right into that, Phil. Fabulous. So tell us about that. You refer to LA as your adopted hometown, and you chose to do a whole segment on that. And is that why? To show people that you can travel in your own town?
Absolutely. You know, what's funny is I didn't like L.A. when I first got there, because as you noted, I was born and raised in New York,
right?
And I was a hardcore New Yorker. And when I got to L.A., I didn't really like it because it's almost the opposite. And then, for me, food and a sense of humor have always been the way in to a place and to people. And I saw the food scene grow so beautifully in L.A. until it became what I think is the best food city in America now because of the great diversity.
Yeah, the diversity that's there. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to ask you now, you did a number of locations that we in your first season. The episode from Florence, it really resonated because of the personal relationship, frankly, that you were able to rekindle after 25 years with your old friends who own the bakery. But you also, in the same episode, you had that gelato experience at Vivaldi. And then eating the barbecue, right off, which I loved, just picking it right off the grill and eating the meat. So I guess kudos for showing the everything that you experienced authentically. I've never trekked out to Umbria when we've been in Florence. Next time, because of you, frankly, we're going to do that. I'm not sure what your favorite episode is, but in my opinion, it'd be tough to top Italy. So share a few things with our audience that they need to go experience.
Italy is my favorite because of that personal story. And, you know, the show is pretty much a documentary. Nothing is faked. So that was a real thing. And as you mentioned, we rekindled a relationship with people we hadn't seen in over 25 years. That was very, very special. So not every episode is going to have that story in it. So that alone makes that my favorite because it was so personal. But Italy wins for other reasons, too. It's just gorgeous everywhere you look. I recommend Italy to people who've never traveled as where they should start. Everywhere is beautiful. The food is unbelievable. You think you know Italian food, and then it's like multiplied by 10 how great it is.
It's very
And then everyone is hugging and kissing you, so what's not to like?
But all right, now with that, I got to give you, I got to give a little bit of a hard time.
Yeah.
Because Mary and I, we just were over with our teenage boys over in Paris, and Mary had her own experience with our son at Pierre Hermé with the macarons.
Oh, boy.
But I got to tell you, I was so annoyed because I'm a vanilla guy, and you had that vanilla. Vanilla tart.
Yeah.
I was right there. I didn't even see it. Tell me about that.
Oh, well, you know, I'm not even a vanilla guy. I'm a chocolate guy.
I know you're chocolate.
I love chocolate. I always say if it's not chocolate, it's not dessert. So I was attracted to all the chocolate things, and I try the fruit things, and I enjoy them, and they're wonderful. And then he said, try this. They said it's a vanilla bomb. A vanilla bomb. And I'm telling you, that's a good name for it.
Phil, but I have to tell, I'm watching that. I said to Mary, I'm like, honey, we were just there. How could I miss that? How could I miss that? So now I got to go back just to have the vanilla bomb.
There's reason to go back.
Yeah, absolutely.
That made me tear up also, that thing. That was, of all the things in that shop, that vanilla thing was... It was one of the most delicious desserts I've ever had in my life.
Well, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Phil Rosenthal. He's the star of I'll Have What Phil's Having on PBS. And if you're a Prime member, you can watch it on Amazon. It's also on Netflix. Last week, we had Brandon Presser on the show, and he had a travel TV show. It's on Bravo. And we were talking with him about the things that we love about travel. It's the adventure. It's about when things go wrong, what happens next. It's about the people we meet, the relationships. I know he mentioned serendipity. But what do you love about travel, Phil, and what inspires you to travel more?
I plan all my travels around food.
All food. That's
so
it.
So. It's true. I feel like, for me, food is the beginner. You're literally taking in the culture, and all our social life is around mealtime, and it's a great way to see a city. In fact, when I first started traveling, and I wasn't sure where I was going or what I was doing, like the way I would see Paris is I'd walk and walk and walk and walk until lunch. I found a place for lunch, and then walk and walk until dinner. So stuff was set up around meals. And yes, the serendipity is a huge part of it. We always call it vacation magic. Just the fact that you're out there and your mind is open and you're willing for things to happen to you, stuff happens.
Right.
Great stuff happens.
Like you get
stuff
those
that you couldn't have imagined. Even when things go wrong, you make this left turn. You're like, oh no, this is awful. In the next second, but.
And then what goes? All right, so I know we've got 30 seconds left, and Mary, you want to ask him about family.
Real quickly, I really want to ask you about your family. How involved? I mean, we see Richard, your brother, behind the scenes every now and then. He's pretty lucky, and you give him a good meal.
Yeah.
Your wife, Monica, has joined you. Your father was in L.A. with you. How involved is your family, and how much do they inspire you?
Now you have 15 seconds.
Yeah. They will not leave me alone. Wherever I'm going, they're going.
So that's even vicariously, they're coming along with you. That's it. All right, well, listen, Phil, thank you very much for joining us on Rudy Maxa's World with the Carries this
week. I loved it.
Enjoyed it. Really did. We're going to look forward to season two coming up. Best wishes to you and your family and with the TV show.
Bless you. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Take care, Phil.
Bye.
All right, folks, you got to go check out I'll Have What Phil's Having. You'll be glad you did. You can find it at your local PBS station, pbs.org. You can find it on Netflix. It's on Amazon as well. Or check out Phil on Facebook, at Phil Rosenthal. There's more Rudy Maxa's World with the Carries straight ahead. Stay with us.
Rudy Maxa's World with the Carries phone lines are open 24-7 at 800-387-8025. And so is the website at rudymaxa.com. We're back after these messages.